Amen. Let the church say amen. Again, indeed, it is a great honor to be here. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we don't have a chance to go in the house of the Lord as we want to, but it is a privilege, and take that for myself and yourselves as well, that we can assemble together.
Yes, sir.
And to study God's word together and honor him together and learn of him. Let us go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for this day you have given to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for Brother Carter and the leadership here giving me this opportunity, Lord, to bring a lesson. Thank thee, Lord, for all of us, Lord, that we are glad to come into the house of the Lord to learn of thee. Lord, to honor thee, Lord, you know our end and our beginning, dear Lord. You have made us, Lord, you have created us. You have sent your Son to die in this world for our sins. And those of us, Lord, that are baptized into Christ, Lord, that we may continue, Lord, to lean unto your hands, God's unchanging hands, dear Lord, that we may observe you in this worship service. Lord, that everything, Lord, may be done pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Bless me as well, Lord, that I may impart the word without addition or subtraction. Bless the hearers thereof, dear Lord, as well, that we may receive the ungrafted word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to observe the word of God today. This is a lesson. And then after which we will have the gospel. This lesson right here, I just want to let you know it intrigued in my heart. I was in Detroit visiting family, and a brother had preached this lesson, and he had left some pamphlets and all, and that I said, wow, that lesson pricked my heart. Amen. And that I said, if I get a chance, I was going to share that lesson with others in some type of way. And the subject of this lesson, some evidence that the Bible is right. Some evidence that the Bible is right. You know, when you go into court and you try to prove a case, you try to say, do you have any evidence? And you say, Exhibit A, Exhibit B, we have evidence, but there are many more than I can bring in this lesson of that the Bible is accurate, that it is God's book. And we're going to share some of those evidence today, and also have some charts to pass out a little later on to those, at least one to every family later on. Evidence that the Bible is right. We would expect a book from God to be absolutely harmonious and free of errors. The Bible was written through the course of 1,600 years of human history, by more than 40 men from differing culture, geographical, and educational backgrounds. These men work independently, and many of them never met another biblical writer. They did not all speak the same language. Isn't that something? But yet, this book that we have, it's harmonious. Their books were, from the most part, 66 independent compositions. And those of us that study in the Bible, we know that Paul wrote some other letters in 1 Corinthians that we don't have, if you know a part of that study. But also, it's another lesson in that bullet right there itself. But we will not get into that today. Amazingly, when these books were collected into one volume, the perfect harmony and theme and teaching emerged. I will just give a little brush on that. Between Malachi, this is not a part of my lesson, but I had to say it now since between Malachi and Matthew, there was a great God's prophets did not write, and many people try to write books, but the only books that stand is the one we have now. They the only ones that are God-breathed. It said that, and God said, and God commanded. That's why these books that we have here are authorized. Look at another bullet here. It says, critics have been able to find even one example of fractional error of the Bible. This perfect harmony and flawlessness is an effort requiring supernatural calls. You know, this is God breathed book that we have. Here's point number two, the testimony from science. The Bible goes beyond fulfilling our expectations. It actually contains information which required supernatural guidance to be recorded. The following chart will show a few of the many scientific discoveries revealed in scriptures. Centuries before they were discovered by modern science. Let's go back. Let's go back to our childhood. Let's go back in kindergarten. Let's go back to some of the things that we learned. Here's some of the things going to prick our memory. If you turn to Job 26 and 7, may I have some help with reading some of these scriptures here as we get this lesson. I appreciate it so very, very much. Job 26 and 7 says what? He suspends the earth over nothing. Many of us was learned that the earth spins on the axles. Well, it's hanging on nothing. How do you do that? You see that little trick of the magic guy. He moves this thing and tries this illusion. But God hangs the earth on nothing. And man is just now figuring that out in the 19th century. And in 1650 A.D., he hangs the earth on nothing. In other words, it was in the Word of God. This is the evidence that we can prove that the Bible is right. The earth is round. The earth is round. In the 15th century, in spite of what you have been told, if you're old as me, you heard some stories that somebody discovered that the world was not flat. But the world was round. Let's turn to Isaiah 40 and 22. Isaiah 40 and 22. I'm giving you a little time because this is a lesson. Isaiah 40 and 22.
Isaiah 40 and 22. It is the Lord who sits above the circle of the earth.
Is the Lord
who sits above.
Who sits above the circle of the earth.
Of the earth.
The earth is round. Keep on running. You're not going to fall off. God got it made. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that the morning and the evening was the first day. We have a practice that we do. We see it when we go into hospitals, and sometimes we practice it ourselves, but this was started by God. Quarantine for disease control. Quarantine for disease control was announced in our time in the 17th century, but this has always been. In Leviticus, the 13th chapter, we're going to read quite a few. notation in this, because this is a very interesting chapter. If those of us that have studied the Old Testament, remember reading these fine books, that, and we're going to read some excerpts, some verses of that today. Turn to the 13th chapter. Right now, we're going to look at the 26th verse. It says that, but if the priest
looks
on it.
At the spot.
Go ahead.
But if the priest looks at the spot.
Looks at the spot.
And there is no white hair in the bright spot.
There's no bright hair in the bright spot.
And the spot is not deeper.
It's not deep.
Than the skin.
It's not deeper than the skin. It's not sinking down.
But it's faded.
But it's what?
Faded.
Well, go ahead.
The priest must separate the person for 7 days.
Priest must separate the person for 7 days. You know, some of our medications that we take, this for 7 days, take this for 4 weeks, all like that. All these practices and things like that, how this inspiration came about, evidence is in the Bible. Now let's go and discover some of this was leprosy. This was leprosy back then. He said, shut him out. That means he shall be isolated, quarantined, isolated. You know, when you go into a hospital room, if you remember, if you look around, you're not scared to look around. Doctor has some things in the office, and then you may see something over here, and it says biohazard materials. Isn't that right? You don't want to touch that. Don't go in there and throw your chewing gum wrapper in there, because you don't want to do that, right? But here's some of these practices happening. We're gonna jump to the 45th verse, if that can be read.
45th verse?
Yes, the same chapter.
Okay.
Thank you.
45th verse says, he is a leprous man.
Okay.
He is unclean.
Right.
The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean.
Okay.
His plague is in his head.
Okay.
And the leper in whom the plague is.
Okay.
His clothes shall be rent.
Right.
And his head bare.
Right.
And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip.
Right.
And shall cry, unclean, unclean.
Unclean, unclean. You know, if you know of anybody that had two tuberculosis or something like that, they got announced that you are unclean. I got this or I got that. Unclean, unclean. But this came from the Bible. You know, when the surgeon goes in the room, he goes and puts on clothes, and after which he takes those clothes and burns them, those clothes. And let's read a little more. Drop down to the 52nd verse.
52nd verse. 52nd verse reads as follows. He shall therefore burn that garment,
right,
whether warp or woof,
right,
in woolen or in linen,
right,
or in anything of skin,
right,
wherein the plague is,
right,
for it is a fretting leprosy,
right.
It shall be burnt in the fire,
right. Get rid of all that biohazard material. In other words, get rid of it. And if you read this whole chapter, it will come to those that read it before, another thing. Oh yeah, God is right. Look here on the first verse. I know I'm jumping around, but look here on the first verse of the first chapter. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, when a man shall have in his skin a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, it be the skin in his flesh,
like the plague of leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons,
right,
the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh.
Right.
And when the hair in the plague is turned white.
Right.
And the plague is seen in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh.
Right.
It is a plague of leprosy.
It's a plague of leprosy.
And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean.
Unclean. Let's hold it right there. See, can I find my notes or say some things about verbatim of this lesson? We have had some plagues in our day, smallpox, cholera, the black plague, and things of those nature, and it was wiping out hundreds and thousands and millions. But they had to practice, or they learned very quickly to practice certain principles of isolation, of quarantine, so diseases would not spread.
All right.
We're going to go to another one. In the New American Standard or the King James, it may read as paths of occurrence. We want to observe the ocean. In 1850, man had observed that the ocean, or did you know, the ocean have natural paths through it. Psalms 8 and 8.
Psalms 8 and 8
yes.
reads as follows. The fowl of the air.
Right.
And the fish of the sea.
Right.
And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas.
Right.
Our Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
In all the earth. Man has just now figured this out, that ocean have natural paths, or you may call them currents. If you ever swam in the ocean, you don't want to get caught in one of those currents. You start swimming toward the sea, it'll bring you right back. And you start swimming in again, it'll bring you right back. It has natural currents in the sea. God developed this. And then went parts of my study that the ocean wall gets cold and the water gets heated up and starts natural currents of the sea. God made these. This one was very intriguing to me, the next two. The most seaworthy ship found out to be tested by through scientists in 1860 is the Ark. But let's observe that Genesis 6:15, as I talk a little bit, I appreciate it very much. Genesis 6:15. Yes.
Says, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of.
This is the fashion. God given the design on how things should really float.
The length of the ark. Shall be 300 cubits.
300 cubits. Stay right there. 300 cubits. Mm-hmm. Now, a cubit, of what my studies have learned, is it's not really a definite measure. Could be from 17 inches, 20 inches, but it's from the tip of hand to the elbow. And you say, well, is it a normal man or whatever, but it comes out about, it could be 20 inches, it could be 17 inches. But this is like a cubit right here. A cubit, keep on, 300 cubits. Now math, people that love math like I do, I said I love it. I didn't say I was good with it. I love it. 300 cubits, go ahead.
The breadth of it, 50 cubits.
50 cubits. You got two zeros over there. Go ahead.
And the height of it, 30 cubits.
30 cubits. All right. If we break that down on the scale, that's a scale from 30 by 5 by 3. 30 by 5 by 3. You know, scientists and man have tested this over again. They said, you know what? I don't have to make it 30 by 5 by 3. I'm going to make it another dimension. Guess what? The ship's cracked. Yeah, they float, but guess what they find? But the best floating ship is this dimension right here. Isn't that amazing? The best floating ship or seaworthy vessel is this design right here. That's truly amazing. This one you probably remember. The plants use sunlight. Job 8 and 16. Plants use sunlight to manufacture food. Plants use sunlight to manufacture food. The Bible says there, I have it, brother, reading from the New American Standard, can the poppies grow up without marsh? Can the rushes grow without water? He thrives before the sun, and his shoots spread over his garden. How does it read it in your version there, brother?
I was trying to find your version.
Okay, good.
Okay, King James Version, where are you at now?
Go ahead, that's good.
Okay, what chapter of Job?
8:16.
Job 8:16.
This is a study.
He is green before the sun,
mm-hmm.
and his branch shooteth forth in his garden.
Right.
His roots are wrapped about the heap and seeth the place of stones.
You know, in the NIV, it says, like a well-watered plant in the sunshine. When I learned in school, whether that, if you remember this word, chlorophyll, in plants, they take the light and convert the sunlight to food and it grows. But here's the thing, no sunlight, no plant. That's through God. That's another amazing evidence about God. Even the enemies of Christ, and the Bible testifies to its truthfulness. Muslims deny the divinity of Christ and the inspiration of the Bible. I want you to understand this because I'm going to be reading some excerpts from the Quran. You must understand this. Muslims deny the divinity of Christ and the inspiration of the Bible, yet there are passages in the Quran itself which support the basic teachings of the Bible. The following are a few passages. Now, in the Quran, they are divided like a chapter and verse, but they are called different. Each chapter and portion of the Quran is the surah, which means a degree or step by which we mount up. Each verse of the surah is called the ayak, which means a sign. Nevertheless, in the Quran, Surah 3 and 3 says this. This is what it's going to talk about first. The gospel was sent down by God as a step-by-step guide to mankind. It reads as this. It is he who sent down to the parenthesis, a step-by-step in truth, the book confirming what we went before it. What went before it. And he set down the law of Moses. Oh, boy. Oh, I know your minds are working. And the gospel. And of Jesus before this as a guide to mankind. He sent down the criterion of judgment between right and wrong. That's what they want to call the book of Moses, the morality. The criterion of right and wrong. And see, God sent that. But see, what the devil does, the devil wants to take part truth, then part lie. They would not confess that Jesus is Lord. You will see it in some of the readings that I'm about to devote, disclose to you right here. Look in Sarah 3, 45 and 47 in the Quran tells of his virgin name. Behold, the angels said, O Mary, give the glad tidings of the word of him. His name will be Jesus. Check this out. The son of Mary, held in honor of this world and the world after, and of the company of those nearest God. One more verse. She said, O my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, even so, God created. He will when he had declared a plan. But he said it to be. And it is. They want to acknowledge Christ, but will not confess that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. On the day of Pentecost, they says that same Jesus whom ye crucified, he is both Lord and Christ. He's just not just a man. He's just not just the Messiah. He's Lord and Christ. Hebrews tells us that He's the eternal Spirit of God that created the world. And God said to God, let's turn to Hebrews 3. Refute this. Hebrews 3 and 3. Going to read some of this.
Hebrews 3 and
3. Yeah, we can start at the first verse.
Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy men,
right,
partakers of the heavenly calling,
right,
consider the apostle and high priest of our confession,
okay,
Jesus Christ.
Right, I read that for a reason, because comparing his, this is showing his apostle is made of, usually made of men, but Jesus is the apostle, considered the apostle, the high priest.
And high priest of our confession.
Who is?
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Who was faithful to him who appointed him.
Okay.
As Moses was faithful in all his house.
Right.
For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses.
Right.
In so much as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God.
He that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in his
in
house.
All his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end.
Let's go to Hebrews 1. This is it. Verse 8 is the key, but I'm going to read some of this. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but had in these last days
spoken to us by his Son,
right,
whom he has appointed heir of all things.
Of all things.
Through whom also he made the worlds.
Right.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person.
Right.
And upholding all things by the word of his power.
Of his power. Now, who are we talking about? God is holding all things by the word of his power. Keep on reading.
When he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels,
right,
as he has by inheritance.
Now, look at that, the fourth verse. Being made so much better than the angels, showing that he made the angels. God made the angels.
As he has by inheritance,
right,
obtained a more excellent name than they.
Obtained a more excellent name than they. When we say the only begotten Son of God, we're saying, the scripture is going to explain right here. Keep on reading.
Okay, reading from the New King James Version.
That's all right.
Verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son.
Right.
Today I have begotten you.
Right.
And again, I will be to him a father.
A father.
And he shall be to me a son.
He shall be to me a son. Hold on now. He's describing his entry into the world. Now, God wants us to know that he's called a son when he comes into earth, but before he was God. Let's keep on reading.
But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him.
They're going to worship him.
And of the angels, he says,
yeah,
who makes his angel...
Who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he said, listen to this. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. God is calling God that will be his Son. God says to God, if you will, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. Thy scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom, and has had loved righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, God, even
your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness.
Oil of gladness.
More than your companions.
It was the eternal God that made the earth. In the beginning, in John 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. just want to let you know, I just had to bring that out by reading these excerpts from the Quran, that that's all they're going to say. He was just a man. You know, in Matthew 16 and 18, he said, who do men say that I am?
Some say
Jeremiah, Elijah, or one of the prophets. Oh, yeah, they acknowledge that part. But can you say that Jesus is Lord and God? Oh, we got some more excerpts, but we're not going to go through too many more of those, but I want to bring out some more of this lesson here. Is some things that man have, some evidences and comparisonship of, and evidence of the Bible is that both male and female possess a seed of life. In Genesis 3:15, Genesis 2:18, man has found out that male has a baby in him and woman is the incubator. Here's one we said about the courting of the disease and also about Job 26 and 7, that the earth is supported on nothing. Here's another thing that scientists have found out that is in the Bible. We turn to Genesis 5:15. The space of the stars are too large to number. The space of the stars are too large a number. Man sitting here trying to count every star. Hold on. Let me count this little section over here. They are too large to number. Genesis 15 and 5. We have to turn there. Part of our studies, then we're going to go into the Bible. The gospel, and the message will be yours. Genesis 15 and 5.
Genesis 15 and 5 reads,
go ahead.
Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven.
Right.
And count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your descendants be.
One more scripture on that. Look at Jeremiah 33. And 22.
Jeremiah 33:22.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And 22.
22 says, as the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sands of the sea measured, so shall I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me.
You can't number the stars. You can't number the stars. Nor the sand of the sea. You can't number it. But one day, we're going to close right there. One day when it's all over, the Bible says that that sky is going to roll up like a scroll one day.
All right.
Isn't that something?
All right.
All
please.
Infinity that man can't number is going to roll up a scroll one day, and every eye shall see him. Mm-hmm. That 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that those that die in Christ, we shall not prevent. They're going to come first. But when they're called, then those that remain here, he said, every eye shall see him. We shall meet him in the air on the cloud. Mm-hmm. One day we got to get ready. We don't want to be dread with the burden of, oh, one day we're going to die. The Bible says, for me to live is Christ. Mm-hmm. For me to die is gain. So as we live, let us live for Christ. Because death is surely is going to come. Hebrews 10 tells us that it's appointed and a man wants to die. And then after death is the judgment. Jesus Christ was preached on the first day of Pentecost. He is that eternal God. He is both Lord and Christ. He is the one that by him being on his physical side, as you read in Hebrews 4, he suffered everything that we suffered. You say, well, Jesus, you don't know. You don't know this. He said, yes, I do, because I was born just like you. He said, well, Jesus, I got this problem. You don't know. Yes, I do. No, because they're able to kill this body that I'm in. I'm able to sympathize with you. We have a man that can sympathize with us But yet we have a God that can help us all that we need. Jesus said in Mark 2:10, he said, which is easier, for me to heal you or to say thy sins forgiven? But he has a way, and we have to believe the word of God. We hear God's word that he died for our sins. And when he died for our sins, they asked, what must I do to be saved? And they said, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we must do. We must not do it any other order or any other type of way, because God, as we know, has a certain order of things. And when he makes things, you don't want to breach his divine order. Saul learned about that when he was trying to do the word of God. He said, I have done the word of God. And Samuel said, you have not. What is that bleeding that I hear in the sheep, in the field of the sheep? And Saul thought he'd done everything that he's supposed to do. So in other words, when we believe in God and have faith in God, we must be baptized for the remissions of sins. And we are called Christians. Bible says the disciples of Christ were called Christians first in Antioch, and that we must continue to do. The Bible is going to prove out itself. The Bible says Scripture in 1 Peter. It says Scripture interprets Scripture. In other words, you keep on reading, the Scripture is going to interpret Scripture and it's going to prove itself out more and more. I know you have more examples of many students, and we all are students of the Bible here today, and we will learn more and more that the evidence of the Bible. I just want to read this conclusion as it, if I could find it in the book. I just quoted from memory that Scripture interprets Scripture. We don't have to worry about the Bible. It's going to prove out itself. It's going to prove out itself accurate, and you can be sure to stand. It will stand against any book. It will stand against any doctrine. It will break all strongholds. And that we must be replenished of this word of God day by day. Paul says we wrestle day. He wrestled with the principalities of on high, that Satan constantly tries to interact with us. But this Bible is going to stand. And we have the word of God here today. And that is enough. I just want us to remember, and also too, that those of us that are not a member of the Church of Christ, of the Lord's Church, that's all you have to come and confess the sweetest name, that he is both Lord and Christ, and be buried in baptism. We have water ready right here. And those of us that want to come and ask for prayer can come and ask for prayer at this time as we stand up and sing the song of invitation.
Page 255.